Hey everybody, welcome back. It's another Turn Zero podcast. We're a little bit late, but better late than never, I guess. This week, Todd has decided to abscond off to Cincinnati to go play some card games. So he left Sooner and I here with no supervision. How's it going, Sooner?
It's going good. We're going to throw a big party without Todd now.
I know, it's kind of exciting. A little new, a little scary. Usually Todd's always here, so we get to act out without him.
Yeah, man. We don't have that raspy voice telling us what to do, you know?
And we can talk about the things we want to talk about. No bull.
Yeah, man. We can talk. And most importantly, we can talk trash about, Todd. Because he's not here to defend himself. So
absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, this week. So we've kind of been in and out a little bit since NashCon. Obviously, I think this is only our second episode since NashCon. Which is, not ideal, but, we all have lives and stuff going on. So I think we're going to just stick kind of current events. Not that there's been a whole lot going on, but I think today we're mostly going to focus on character card changes to the most recent batch, which is going to include the Guardians and some of the changes to Medusa, Enchantress, and Valkyrie, which all super exciting stuff. And I really think that's all we're going to be talking about, rules changes, that kind of thing, kind of how the game is right this second. Since we don't have any releases or anything, I just get to see everybody putting together and painting their cool stuff from like Canada and Europe and just rubbing it in my face. So, but as usual, I think we can go ahead and lead things off with a little bit of Sooner's TTS Corner with his fantastic new theme music that was voted on by the Music League. A little casual little intro, get you guys warmed up for this. Here we go.
So TTS League season, what is this, 6, I think? It's in full swing. We've played 5 weeks. I am currently playing in the central bracket. So basically we're down to the end. We got one more week to go, and top cuts have, getting very close to being solidified on who's going to be in, who's going to be out. It's been a really good season. Sam Spam has been very strong this season, for a combination, I think, of things. Number one, a lot of people are playing them, and a lot of very good players are playing them. Some of the top players who normally finish very high, no matter what they play in the league, are playing them. So they've done well. There's still a little nice mix in there. I know in Central, there's 3 players that are left undefeated going into the last week. One of them is playing Sam Spam. One of them is playing A-Force. And then the other one is myself playing Sam Spam. So this season's been pretty good for me. I'm 5-0. Been rocking that Sam Spam. I thought about playing Convocation, but I just didn't have much practice with them, and they were so new that I decided just to stick with Sam since I knew it. But TTS is going well. This is kind of the swan song before all the changes, and next week is when we really figure out the nuts and bolts of the rest of the top cut.
And remind me again, because it's been a while since I've been on top of TTS, but what did they allow and not allow in terms of character releases and rules changes and all that kind of stuff?
So the characters, it's really up until wizards. So wizards are allowed along with their leadership with both sides of the card. That is pretty much the last release that is allowed. So obviously Midnight Suns and Wizards would be your most recent releases. They did at the midpoint change allow Hulkbuster and allow Rogue and a couple of those releases. So those have been kind of the new changes at midseason. I don't think they've made a big effect outside of Hulkbuster. I think you've seen him played in quite a few games, but that is it. The rules changes are no different. They are still the old rules. We decided, which I think is the right decision, to play with those rules because we just don't have exact rules for the new rule changes. So until we have exactly what that is going to be, we're just playing some good old fashioned MCP.
Straight up OG style.
OG, baby. Taking it back into the days.
Well, congratulations on your record so far. That's pretty exciting.
Yeah, it feels good. You know, the last couple seasons have been rough on me. Both seasons I started out 3-0, and I ended up losing, two of my last three games. Some very close games in those games, and the dice or the ball just didn't roll my way. And it feels good to kind of redeem myself and make it top cut again.
Once you kind of glommed onto Sam Spam, it like spoke to you immediately. So there's probably some familiarity, and that play style seems to really be in your wheelhouse. So all those things together is
I'm very 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 comfortable. I mean, at this point, I've played quite a few games of Sam Spam. Obviously, I took him to NashCon, and I'm playing almost the same roster that I took to NashCon. So I have a lot of practice with them. I've been playing them. You know, I was probably the first person to start playing Sam Spam. So I get a little frustrated when people, you know, are like, "Oh, Sam Spam's so good, they're overpowered." And look, I get it; they are really good. But it's just because I was one of the first ones. You can't say I'm the first one, but I was one of the first ones on them. So it kind of drives me a little bit crazy about that. But they're good. I mean, there's no doubt. I think Sam's leadership is probably the best leadership in the game. So, I mean, anytime you have something that is the best of, I mean, that affiliation is going to be good.
Yeah, and anytime you can put a whole bunch of solid low-point characters together, it's going to be good. And we'll get to talk about that a little bit as we move forward with some of these Guardians changes. Like, there's another example of you getting to take a whole bunch of low-cost characters that are being made better and put them back together and see what happens. So, makes sense to me. I think it's just a cool roster, and I'm glad that they have that in the game, because that was kind of missing when they took drop-off out from Guardians. And even before that, you were really the only guy rolling with them. So we didn't have any spam lists before that.
No, I think it's coming a lot more, much more popular. I think it was always viable, but I think it's probably gotten a little bit stronger. Even if you take Sam away, I think it's, you know, with some of the tactics cards and things like that, it's probably only strengthened over time. It's a fun way to play. I enjoy it a lot. I enjoy playing six models or seven models more than I enjoy playing three or four models.
Yeah. Well, since we haven't talked in a while, why don't we keep up with the updates? Have you been playing any real life games?
So I haven't gotten in, or well, I've intentionally not played any of the new, Steve Rogers or Hulk or anything like that, just because I kind of wanted to wait until rules were fully released and things like that. So I've just basically been playing old school MCP and kind of practicing with Sam and some of those lists. I've been playing some Wizards. I've played about 8 to 10 games of Wizards. And that's about all I've been doing on the MCP front.
Right on. Yeah, I haven't played a whole bunch myself either. I've been a little bit. Well, so number one, I never really got into TTS very much. I've always kind of been on the outside of that, which is why you get your own corner on this show, because I don't know about what's going on at TTS. But then as a guy who plays mostly in real life, like, I've been really kind of attached to the release schedule, and that's, you know, what keeps me motivated about playing the game. And we haven't had any releases for 6 months. So there's been a little dry spot there. And then I never really like attached myself to a roster. I was doing bomb stuff for a long time, and that could kind of ebb and flow with different teams, but it was mostly just kind of character based and whatever I could squeeze them in. But I finally just sort of like stuck to X-Men and had been playing X-Men. And we had a 10-person tournament over at Todd's shop, Total Access Games, in Ashland, Virginia. Got to plug it, even though he's not here.
Oh, yeah.
We had a 10-person event a couple weeks ago. I think it was 2 weeks ago. And we didn't use any of the new characters, but we did use the Infinity Gem change to roster building. We used the 10 tactics cards, and we also used the random selection on Crisis. Mm-hmm. It was fun, man. It went really well. And I won some games and then bowed out of my last one because I didn't want to get rolled out and not, you know, get hot rolled out and get mad. So it was good. I like the new rules changes a lot. It's funny that you've played with the new characters and I've played with the new rules, but we haven't crossed over into each other's fields.
Yeah, I mean, I am a big supporter. I think the new rules are great. Although I haven't yet played them, I think, you know, just in theory and I mean, I think it's great. I like the random crisis selection. I think that it's going to take some of the, you know, pre-planning and turn one planning that people are doing and take it to, you know, better gameplay in the actual on the board will be more beneficial, which is what I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, it all feels good. Doesn't make the game feel weird. Actually, the having 10 tactics cards, I thought was going to be kind of overwhelming, and it's actually been mostly good. Like, it's just all flex.
Yeah.
Like, gives you a little more to think about when you're getting set up, but you appreciate having the tools available in the toolbox, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, no, I'm a big fan of what the new rules are going to present, and so I think that'll be a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. And all this stuff will probably jump into the next season of TTS League, right?
Yep. Oh, yeah, for sure. Yeah,
For Top Cut, or just going to keep it straight up for Top Cut?
I think they're talking about it. I think the plan in right now is Top Cut will just continue, and it'll kind of be the bow out of the OG MCP. You know, because we don't have an exact date of when these, you know, rules changes are officially going to be released or anything like that. So I think the plan as of now, it's OG MCP.
Right on. Yeah, until those things get solidified, I guess it makes most sense to just kind of play what you know for now and then let them figure that out.
Yeah, you just don't want to introduce, you know, something. You just don't want anything to be, you know, with an asterisk by it. Mm-hmm. So you don't want to, you know, say, oh, well, we think these are going to be the rules and we play it like that. And then they release the rules and we were doing stuff wrong. And it's like, okay, well, you know, so I think it's the right thing to do.
Well, I'm sure you're rubbing your hands together with excitement over both of these sets of character changes that we were talking about at the top of the show. So we got Guardians, we got four Guardians, Star-Lord, Gamora, Rocket, and Groot, and then we have some changes to Valkyrie, Enchantress, and Medusa, and you have some long-standing grievances with the second set, and I'm sure that you really like these changes, but then you're also, like, the preeminent Guardians player, so I'm sure you're excited to see them get some love. So I'll let you choose. Which one are you more excited about talking about? What do you want to start with?
Oh, man. So let's start talking. Surprisingly, I'm probably happier to see the Medusa Enchantress changes.
Okay.
Although I am also very excited to be able to get some Guardians on the table. But yeah, the Medusa and Enchantress changes, I really support those. I mean, I think AMG continues to do a great job. I mean, they're just showing that they're a very good company that cares about their game and knows what they're doing, because, mm-hmm. you know, they're taking these models that were, you know, overpowered, and they are toning them down.
Yep. So let's go over those. So I'll just call out what I see, and then you catch me if I miss something or need to add something. So we'll start with Enchantress. From what I can tell, and because I'm being lazy and I don't have her other card in front of me, I just have the updated card. They've made Amora's Kiss, her ability that steals an objective token. They've turned that into an action, so she can no longer move, steal something from you, and move away again, which is good. Yes. Was an important change. They have also made it so her bow can only be used once per turn.
Yeah, those are, I believe, the only two changes.
I believe so. I think everything else is good.
Which is what I think. I mean, I don't think she really needed much more than that. I mean, I think that now brings her in line of all other four threats.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, yeah, I mean, I think they're wonderful changes. I mean, I think the bow changes were across the board. Every character who had a bow got switched, and I mean, that needed to happen. It was that more than I think Amora's Kiss, because I think Amora's Kiss was real big early on, but it had kind of fought the grab and run had kind of fallen away, especially with Panic going to Restricted.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, you know, the real abusable part of Enchantress was the bow. I mean, you could just bow models right in a, you know, into easily 4-man, 3-man beams really easy and just attack them all. And the control was just too much. So I think that was a huge change on her and much better. I think she's still a good character if you want to play her. So it's not like they neutered her where she's not going to be seen or anything like that. She's still a very good character. But now she's just much more fair. And, you know, they turned off the Morris Kiss being an action that just, you know, again, turns off those turn one plays of grabbing extracts and getting away. And it's just really good changes.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I don't really think she loses that much in terms of power level, because the abilities that she has are still good abilities. They're just kind of brought in line, like you said. And Amora's Kiss, I think this actually, the change makes it, I think, work more as intended, because you could tell, because they limited it to a range one, that they already wanted you to kind of be in some danger by choosing to do that. Mm-hmm. Like, it shouldn't just be a gimme. There were games where you could start a turn next to somebody who was attacking you, take their stuff and just run off. Or, as you said, go steal an objective off the somebody that's stuck in the middle and then, you know, just be gone. So at least now you can't get as far away, and it's much less oppressive. You can still catch up to her. You know, it's definitely still going to be strong. Say you steal a alien ship or something at the end of a turn, you're still going to get those points, but at least it's not, you steal it, you get the points, and then your opponent just can't get it back for the rest of the game because you've decided to run off. So I think that's good. And then obviously the bow, they're just changing it across the board. Anybody who had that ability is now limited to once per turn. We've had complaints about that since MODOK's inception. So they're just correcting some things that needed fixing, but it's still a powerful ability. It's still going to let her set up some stuff, obviously, but it's not going to be oppressive anymore. So I'm very happy with it.
Yeah, definitely. And it turns off the, you know, outside of, you know, having Lockjaw teleport her up or somebody teleport her, it turns off the steal turn one mm-hmm. play. So, I mean, I think that's obviously really good that you can't move steal, because that was a pretty strong play on turn one.
Yeah. Well, that's good. I'm happy to see it. You can tell by the list of characters that they're targeting these heavily splashed, super high power characters that we've all been complaining about for some time. So I'm going to jump into Valkyrie next, who, you know, was kind of like the splash 3-pointer of choice in a lot of lists for a really long time. Has always been consistently solid. The big change on her, as far as I can tell, is that her Dragon Fang, her second attack that has a flurry, now has a trigger, or it had a trigger with a wild. Now they've also made it so it needs a crit. So it needs a crit and a wild to trigger the flurry off of Dragon Fang. Pretty big deal. That flurry, you could almost count on that thing going off, and now it's a little bit harder. What do you think about that change?
Yeah, so it's definitely a big change. I think that certainly lessens Dragon Fang's power level. She also had a second change, which is, it's very, very impactful, probably even more impactful, and her throw went from 2 power to 3 power.
Oh, good catch. I didn't notice that.
So that is huge. No more, again, without advanced R&D, no more first turn, double move, throw somebody off. So, again, it seems like a lot of these kind of changes are, they're very good, and they seem to be kind of to limit some of these turn one plays, which I think people were abusing. So I think it's good. I will say this. I think that I see why they did the change on both of the things on Valkyrie. I think it's probably a little much. I think you probably could have done one or the other and she would have been fine. She was kind of already getting phased out as the most popular three anyway, because a lot of good other threes have came out. One of the reasons she kind of dominated being the splash three early on is because you didn't have near as many good threes. And so now that you have some, she was still a great character, but you just weren't seeing her quite as much. So, you know, I worry that these changing both of these things may make her, you know, a little obsolete, but I think she's still a good character. And I mean, I think that I see why they did it, because early on she was, you know, she was the three threat character.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I wasn't too bothered by the throw. I know that's powerful, but I was more worried about her OTKing me with Dragon Fang than I was about somebody getting tossed. So yeah, I do think that might be a little bit overboard, but you know,
and she could still do globs of damage, you know. She still has Warrior of Legend. Like, I mean, she's still generating two power a turn. So, I mean, she can still just crank the damage output out there.
Yep. And she's still a little bit of a glass cannon. So she's definitely easier to deal with now. And it's going to be harder for her to pop off. Dragon Fang could still do the flurry. It's just not going to be as consistent. So, all good things. Maybe a little bit heavy-handed with her, but oh well. They needed to address something, so I'm glad they did something rather than just let it sit there, you know?
Definitely.
And then finally, we have, at least on this side, in terms of nerfs, we have Medusa. So I'm probably going to miss some stuff here. You'll have to catch me. I should be pulling up her other card, but I'm not going to do it. I'm going to keep this interactive. this looks like it may become sort of an across-the-board change. We'll have to wait and see, kind of like Bao. But they also added a crit to the flurry trigger on Braid Bash, so it now needs a crit in a wild, just like Valkyrie's. We'll have to see if they continue to do that to carry all characters with flurry, or just the problem characters with flurry. Who knows? And then, what else?
Yeah, so the two changes were the flurry, and her push is now before damage is dealt.
There we go.
So that's there's no more banking the pushes and then just, you know, doing a couple damage and then double pushing away. So you'd have to do the attack, do damage, do the push, then do your flurry attack. So yeah, I mean, overall, I think excellent changes to kind of tone her down, because she certainly needed it. And they did a good job of, you know, obviously toning these characters down, but still making them, you know, good and playable. They didn't just nerf them into the ground.
Yeah, that attack was so above board that
it needed something. Yeah.
Yeah. I just got my ass absolutely wrecked by Medusa in a separation anxiety recently. So we all just kind of looked at the board and we're like, wait, why didn't we kill her sooner? Like, why did we just let her sit out there?
Yeah. I mean,
this is possible.
You combine her with all you got. I mean, you got the possibility, and I know it's not always going to happen, but I mean, sure, you got the possibility of doing 8 attacks with pushes on all those attacks and a throw. So like, I mean, that's just too much for one character. It's like, that needs to be like a 7 threat character if that's going to be the thing.
Yeah. And she still has an awesome toolbox. She's still perfectly functional.
She's still she's still one of the top fours in my, I mean, I think Royal Decree is maybe her best attribute. I mean, being able to move around your whole team is extremely powerful.
Mm-hmm. So I don't think she she's gonna lose that automatic. Like, I'm thinking I need a four threat. Ooh, it's gotta be Medusa. So maybe that takes a step back a little bit, but she still is just as impactful in the game. Just not as crazy overpowered.
Yes. I mean, if they didn't change anything on her, and with the changes to like Enchantress, I mean, it would have been, if you have a four threat slot, you automatically choose Medusa. She would be so far and above the threshold of the rest of the fours. It just wouldn't be fun.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm glad.
Yep. I'm glad they targeted some impact characters. Those two have been an issue for a really long time, like all through the last couple seasons of TTS League and even into NashCon and all this stuff. So I'm glad that they made a move on those. They needed it. Better late than never. Even though Valkyrie was starting to get pushed out a little bit, she was still always there and still always a consideration. And so all good things. I'm very happy about all those changes. Just, in fact, you know, all the changes that we talked about so far on the podcast and then ones we may have missed in our kind of our absence, I feel like have all been very good. So I'm happy with the direction they're going on these.
Definitely. AMG's doing a really good job.
And now we get to go to the exciting buffs.
Yeah, the fun stuff, man.
Yeah, this is the characters getting made better. I'm actually going to leave Star-Lord for last because I think that he's maybe the most interesting, and for me anyway. Plus, it's fun to talk about the affiliation ability last. So I'm going to jump into Gamora. And you know how little I've played Gamora that I can barely notice the changes if they hadn't written them out for me.
So I could go. You want me to go over it?
Yeah, why don't you take it over?
Yeah, so one of the big things is she went from, I believe, 5-5 stamina to 6-6 stamina. Second thing is she developed stealth. Yeah, no, I mean, those were the two changes. But those two changes were very large because the common complaint of Gamora, and it was a very, very, very valid complaint, is she's just an absolute glass cannon. And, like, the worst glass cannon of all. I mean, for a four threat character, she just died way too easily.
Mm-hmm.
So now, if you combine stealth with martial prowess, and we'll get to the leadership change in a little bit, but if you combine those three things, she now not only is still a very good offensive character, but now she's going to be semi hard to kill. I mean, 6-6 stamina is, you know, that's good for a four threat character. And, you know, you have to be in a very specific range not to be able to attack her and proc martial prowess. So, I mean, I think as long as she has the power and then you add in a couple rerolls, like, it's going to be a lot harder to kill her, which is what she needed.
Now, was she a part of your roster when you were playing a lot of Guardians?
No, I never played her. I thought she was, you know, I could take three threats that I got more work out of than her. But I absolutely think these changes make her certainly a viable option. And I will very likely be putting her in my list. I mean, she can crank out some damage.
That's the point I was going to make, is that Menion has played her quite a bit in the shop, and she has been problematic when she gets an opportunity to go off. So she was controllable because she had the reduced stamina and no stealth. You could kind of deal with her, but if she could get to you, she could do a ton of damage. So I think she may be somebody we need to watch, because the buffs may make it put her in a position to now kind of be a terror on the board at 4 points.
I agree.
Pretty interesting.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, you know, how I used to, if I ever saw a Gamora opposite to me, I would just try to make sure that I'd a ranged attacker, and they would usually, you know, remove her from the board pretty easily.
Mm-hmm.
Now that's going to be much, much harder with stealth. So that's a kind of I guess it's not a small change, but it could be perceived a small change. That's going to be a big change on the board.
Mm-hmm. And with character with her power and having stealth with a long move is pretty scary because she can kind of hide out of range, but then also cross that gap herself very easily.
Yeah, and let's not forget she has a range two, or not a range two, a small place. I mean, she gets to do basically Black Panther's pounce. And so, I mean, that's even more movement on a stealth character. So, yeah, I mean, I think she goes from being a character never played to a character that certainly is going to be played a lot in Guardians, and certainly a character to look at for splashing outside.
So next up on the list is Groot, and it may surprise you, but unlike Gamora, I have played Groot enough to actually know what his changes were without having to look them up. So, so one of the big things was they increased the range of his basic attack, his strike, from 2 to 3. It's whatever. It's good. It's a nice little toolkit addition, because he was so slow having the extra range on that. Plus it makes sense thematically, which I think they addressed in the article. He has a little more reach in comics and in the movies, and that he felt on the board here. But then they also made his living plant ability, once per turn. So he can heal 3 from himself, but now only do it once per turn. That was one of the more threatening things about Groot, was that you could go stick him in the middle, and if somebody couldn't kill him, then he then had the power to heal himself to full right at wherever he was standing. So not huge changes, but you think they're going to help him at all?
Oh, for sure. He did have a third change. His spinner, which is a really good spinner, went from 6 power to 5 power.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, so that's something that kind of is easily to gloss over because it's an expensive spender. But
it is. It's very good, though. It is one of the key things about playing him is getting that thing off.
Yeah, it's really good. So I think these changes are great for Groot. I liked playing Groot in certain scenarios, and I think all this does is make him even better in those objectives and scenarios. So, yeah, and I mean, we'll see. There's a change to a couple changes to Rocket that, also kind of benefits both him and Groot. So, I think they're real good changes. I think having his strike range 3 is going to help because, as we know, he is very slow, just like a tree. Mm-hmm. And, the living plant, I think they felt like they needed to tone that down a little, and I get that. I think they were really good changes, and I think they take him from an average 3 to a much more viable 3-pointer.
Yep. And you mentioned it. So the Rocket changes this in tandem with Groot are going to make them good on the board again. Those two have a built-in power on Rocket that kind of tie them together. So Groot can act as a free bodyguard for Rocket as long as they're within 1 of each other. That has been increased to range 2 of each other, which is a big deal because their difference in size and difference in movement meant that it was kind of a chore to try to keep them within range to use personal bodyguard. At least I always found it was.
It was. It was difficult, yeah.
Yeah, so that range 2 is much more flexible. I like that a lot. I think you still probably got to pay attention to it because you could easily overextend, thinking you have range 2 and then get thrown out even easier. But it will be nice for positioning. The other thing they did for Rocket was they gave him a new superpower called Nimble, which says he does not suffer damage from collisions, which is a big deal because that was like the best way to kill Rocket.
It was. I think Rocket benefits the most of all the Guardians changes. I think he goes from, a 2-point who was a decent 2-point who you could bring if you wanted some long range attacks to. I think now he's pushing Okoye for maybe the best 2-threat character. And we'll see if Okoye gets any kind of nerfs or anything like that. But these changes for him were absolutely huge. I mean, obviously in Guardians, the 2 changes are enormous because now it's a lot easier to bodyguard with Groot, and then you just can't just throw Groot into him to kill him. Mm-hmm. The nimble changes where he doesn't take collision damage. I mean, that's just enormous on anywhere you put him. Whether you take him in Guardians or you splash him unaffiliated. That makes him, for someone who's got 3 stamina on both sides, that actually makes him really hard to kill. Because I can't tell you how many times people would put attacks into Rocket and do zero or one damage because the automatic cover is so big. So if you just roll one block, then you usually have two blocks right there. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, it's just huge. And, you know, he's only size one, so you can hide him pretty easily in terrain. So I just think it's it really turns Rocket up to, you know, one of the better, if, you know, top tier two threat characters.
Yeah, and I've always kind of favored Nebula in that two spot. I know that Okoye is also kind of, I don't know, I was going to say, considered next to each other. I know some people think Nebula is way worse and Okoye is way better. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I liked Nebula because I like doing the damage. I think I like Rocket more now because he gets to do it much more safely. And he also gets to interact with objectives, right? So if I want to do damage, I think I'm bringing Rocket now. And he's going to be much safer and much more flexible in where he can be placed, and he also contributes to your team in a much more impactful way than Nebula does. So I think these changes just put him over the top for me in that spot.
Yeah, I agree. I think Nebula was my second favorite two threat. I mean, I play her in my Sam spam list. I think these changes push Rocket ahead of her. I think Rocket can do... I think their damage, I think... it's actually going to be pretty close to the same. Nebula is going to be better against people who are holding an objective or are sitting on a secure. She's going to do more damage, but she's going to do less damage to people who are not doing those things. Mm-hmm. And there are times where the person you want to attack is not doing that. And like you said, he can stay much safer. He can do it. He can reach out much further on the board with his range 5, and he can do it from further back. And honestly, he's probably harder to kill now that he doesn't take throw damage.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just envisioning parking him on like a B point, and he can touch all the other points with his 5 range and still be contributing a point to your team.
Yeah, it's good.
So, he's very good now. I really like him. I'm glad they made that change, and I'm glad they took away just like a real obvious weakness with the throw damage.
Yeah, I mean, it neutered, you know, it almost made playing him and Groot together and doing their little bodyguard thing, it almost made it impossible, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's so I think they were really good changes, and now they make them where they are best buddies.
Yes, they are. Even more so now. Now they don't have to be right next to each other. They're giving themselves some space because they've both grown. It's good. It's good to see their relationship flourish, you know?
Definitely.
So let's move over to Star-Lord. Star-Lord's winging ability has changed significantly enough that I'm going to read the whole new thing. Before it was you had to ditch a tactics card to get 3 winging it tokens. You had to give them all to one character, and they had to be used that turn for a reroll on either defense or attack. Now it is much better. It also didn't, it had a power cost before too, right?
Or am I winging it?
No, it was just a tactics card.
Yeah. There's just the tactics card.
Yep.
Which is way worse than any power or power costs or anything.
Yeah. And that was one of my major complaints with it going way back. I think everybody felt the same way though. So now winging it during the power phase, choose up to 3 allied characters, give each character a winging it token. While a character with a winging it token is attacking, defending, or dodging, it may spend a token during the modify step to reroll 2 of its dice. At the end of the round, remove all winging it tokens from characters. Such a cool change, man. And such like a, it's a such a good tactical change too, right? Because there's no range on it. You just pick 3 characters that you know are going to need this thing, this reroll 2 dice, and you get to hand it out wherever you want.
Yeah, it's a very good change. I mean, I have not yet played the new Guardians with the new rules. So some of this, well, all of this is kind of theory crafting and, you know, just basing off all the leaderships I've played and all things like that. I think this takes it from a basically void leadership that wasn't even used, mm-hmm. to a maybe middle of the road leadership. I still don't think this is, you know, top of the line. Now, if you would be able to stack the Wiggingit tokens on one character, I think that would have made it much stronger. You know, could that have made it too strong and that's why they didn't do it? Sure, maybe. Because if you're keeping priority and you're able to just stack, you know, three Wiggingit tokens on a character like Angela or somebody like that, like that could get pretty, pretty, you know, pretty devastating. But I love the changes, the fact that they now have a leadership. They have a leadership that's useful, and it's going to be useful every turn. So I love it. I mean, I think although it doesn't make their leadership, you know, set the world on fire, I love that they now have a usable leadership. Makes me want to bring Star-Lord for a leadership. So I think it's good. And remember, the Wiggingit tokens can be used for offense and defense.
Yep. So, attack, defense, and dodging, which is
So whenever I was talking earlier about Gamora, you can get Gamora right into the face of someone, giving her a Wiggingit token. And even if you don't have priority, that person who attacks her is either going to be facing stealth or martial prowess with a Wiggingit token. So, I mean, she's going to become much harder to kill. So I like the changes. I'm really excited to get it on the board and play it. Yeah, I think it's worlds better than the old leadership.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's not the most impactful one in the game, but the fact that you can now do it every turn where it used to be once a game if you ever used it. And you get to distribute it to so many characters in the power phase. So it's, you don't even have to do it when Star-Lord's active. You just do it in the power phase.
Yeah.
It just feels like it's going to make the whole team more consistent across a game. Because rerolls, we all know, are super powerful. So just feels good, man. And I like that there's a tactical aspect to it, right? Like, you don't have to give it to the same character or somebody within range of you every turn. You give it to whoever needs it, you know, wherever they are. And like you said, if you put it on Gamora when she's, you know, in stealth, and then somebody wants to move in on her, you know, they got to account for that, plus the reroll, plus her martial prowess. Or if maybe even if you have priority, you just give her one and you say, I'm going to go kill this guy now. So
yeah, they're good changes. I do have to point out, not to be negative at all, but I do have to point out this is a stealth nerf to Deadly Duo. The one time I would use the leadership before was when I played Deadly Duo, and I would give all three Wiggingit tokens to Rocket so he could
just make sure he kills somebody.
Make sure he can, you know, use all the Wiggingit tokens. So it is unfortunately a stealth nerf to that card, but that's also already a really good card, so I mean, it'll still be fine.
And then the other thing they did to Star-Lord was to give him hit and run, which that just fits. Like, that's a cool ability for him. I like it a lot.
Yeah, it's thematic. It's, you know, we're ending on Star-Lord. I think, if you ask me, in my opinion, Star-Lord got he got the leadership change, which he needed. And so that makes him viable and makes him, you know, makes me want to play him. I still think Star-Lord's an average character.
It makes him way better than he was, though.
It does. I mean, before you didn't even want to play him. Like,
right.
So like now I actually do want to take him, and a lot of that's because of leadership. And I do think that absolutely, I agree that hit and run is thematic and it is good on him. Anybody with range 4 attacks, hit and run is great. It's a really good ability. So I think ultimately, yeah, I don't want to come off too negative because although I think Star-Lord's still kind of an average character, I think that ultimately what they did to him strengthened all of the Guardians just by the leadership. And I think hit and run was a good addition to him. So yeah, I'm super excited, man. I am very likely going to play them next season, or if I next, you know, big in real life tournament or anything I go to, I will very likely be playing Guardians.
Yeah, and it's interesting too because as opposed to like the Enchantress, Valkyrie, Medusa nerfs, where we're kind of looking at them individually in terms of their effect on the board, I think you have to look at the Guardians adjustments kind of holistically because they play together. That's the important part of their kit. And it's going to be cool to see how they all interact together now. And whether or not they're going to become super top tier, if it just makes them playable and fun and not like a detriment, like you're not playing down to play the Guardians. It'll be cool to see where that adjustment kind of lies. Like, did they get it right, or did they kind of go overboard, or, you know, what the deal is?
Yeah, that'll be a lot of fun. My immediate hot take is I think that the changes were good and they made them competitively viable. I would be really surprised if this takes them to top tier, but I have definitely been wrong before, so I could be wrong again. But I think what this does is just takes them from, you know, bottom tier to certainly competitively viable. Absolutely.
Right on. I'm excited to see all this stuff come into the game. And I actually like the design of the new character cards, so I'm excited to pick them all up at once. I know they talked about releasing a set of those next year at some point. I don't know how much we could trust them, considering we haven't seen models in 6 months, but, you know, whatever. We'll get them when we get them, I guess. Speaking of, I wanted to ask you a question before we move on to anything else. I don't know if we have any questions or anything anyway, but how do you feel about them sort of having to play reactive in terms of their character design philosophy, as opposed to being able to make them sort of right out of the get? Like, Medusa coming out in her state felt like it should never have happened in the first place. Are you okay with them acknowledging those things in arrears and fixing them, or would you prefer that they take more time on the front end to make sure those characters don't come out broken in the first place?
I mean, the answer to that question is both. But I think that anytime you create a brand new game, you're going to learn. There's going to be things you're never ever going to be able to make the perfect game from day one. And you know, that's what they said in their webinar when they announced these changes. It's like, look, we learned. And I think it is fantastic for a company to come out and say, look, man, we learned. We learned that some of the things that we made, although at the time we thought were good and maybe fair and things like that, now we kind of realize that, you know, they're not, and we wanted to fix it to make the game better. I think that's absolutely fantastic. And if you look at any competitive miniatures game, I don't really care what it is, there's almost always an errata or a once or 2 year points update. Or, I mean, it doesn't matter if it's a GW game, if it's War Machine, if it's X-Wing. I mean, they all do it. So, I mean, I think it's just what comes with the territory of a miniatures game. And, you know, I think that the hard thing with developers of a miniatures game is you want to push the envelope. You don't want to just keep coming out with the same boring characters, just, you know, remasked, you know? So you got to kind of push the envelope a little bit. So, I mean, you got to take some chances. Yeah. It's hard to see, like, Medusa, they didn't see that as a problem. I think that's really the big one that stands out to me. Maybe MODOK at the very first of the game. But even MODOK, as the game progressed, MODOK got less and less and less popular. I'll say Enchantress. When Enchantress was originally released and I read her card, I didn't think she was going to be this big of a problem. I really didn't. And then there's some things, you know, that transpired. I think the thing that really set Enchantress off on her road to being broken was all the turn one plays and, like, panic. Right. And I don't think they ever saw that combination. And, you know, you can say, oh, they should test better, but I mean, come on, that's hard to, you know,
there's a lot of variables for a design team to pick up versus the population of the player base.
I mean, so, you know, when they're testing, you know, they're testing and they're trying hard, but they're not trying to break stuff. You release your stuff, you have hundreds and hundreds of people out there literally just trying to break the game. So, I mean, look, I think that they did great. I think admitting that some of these, you know, some of these moves that they made, you know, were maybe a little overpowered or they weren't strong enough, and then fixing them, I think, is a wonderful move.
And a follow-up to that, one of the accusations sort of levied against the developers of the game when this first was coming out, you know, because a lot of them are ex-Privateer Press guys, one of the things I heard a lot was that they had a really hard, bad problem with power creep in some of their previous games. Mm-hmm. Does this seem like we don't need to worry as much? Like they're going to fix it? They have a willingness to fix it?
I think the answer is yes. And I think to follow up to that answer, I don't think there was much power creep at all.
No, I think they were doing a good job, actually.
Yeah, I mean, I think that, maybe like Steve Rogers, Avengers, and some of these who were the very first affiliation in the game were maybe like a little underpowered. But I mean, you look at like the recent releases, Convocation, Midnight Suns, like those guys aren't any better than, mm-hmm. you know, some of the Web Warriors. I mean, Web Warriors, I can tell you right now, I think with the changes that are going on, Web Warriors is my number one affiliation in the game. I think they're the best affiliation in the game. And the stats pretty much in the TTS leagues back that up.
And you can say that freely because Todd's not here to go, oh, I told you so.
Yeah. So, no, no joke. So, yeah, I mean, I think, and they were what? One of the very first releases. I think Wakanda is still one of these top four strongest affiliations in the game. They were one of the first releases. I don't think there's power creep, man. I really don't.
Yeah, I know there were some bad feelings because Enchantress and Medusa kind of came out near each other. And there were some bad feelings because it was two kind of over-the-top characters that hit around the same time. But aside from that blip, I think it's been very consistent.
I agree. And then remember, Enchantress was supposed to come out earlier than she actually did.
Right.
So, I mean, those were maybe, they ended up being spaced very close together, but they were actually, should have been further apart.
And then I have one more question for you on this topic.
Yep.
So, do you think that if not for COVID and all of the shipping problems, do you think that this readjustment, this reload would have happened? And if not, does that mean that COVID is the best thing that could have happened to MCP?
I don't know about best thing to ever happen because it basically neutered the in real life games for about, you know, well, I shouldn't say the in real life games. I should say the big in real life tournaments and conventions.
Right.
It neutered for over a year, if not, you know, 2 years. So I don't think so. But I could definitely see the argument of, you know, they may not have done this without the delay in releases. So that would be a good thing. I think it's a very good thing. Who knows? Even if the releases were still getting cranked out, I mean, they still might be doing this. I know the developers, Pagani and Schick, I know they care immensely about their game and the perception of their game. So I know that they would be trying to fix it regardless. So who knows, you know?
Yep. Yeah, I like it. I'm very happy for all this stuff. I like to see the living game being fixed while the new stuff is still kind of coming out or should be coming out soon on the horizon anyway, or would have already been out.
Yeah.
I really like that they've made old characters viable again, and it's all good stuff.
It really is.
We're coming up on an hour or so. I don't know. Do we have any podcast questions? Do we want to just cut it here? What do you think?
I think we only got one quick question, and I think we call it a day.
Sounds good, man.
Ready, Captain?
I'm ready to take calls from the public.
Okay, cool.
We got a question from Keith C. He asks, now that we've seen Green Goblin's card, how viable of a leader is he with the changes?
Green Goblin. Okay, so what all happened to Green Goblin? They gave him an extra die on his basic, right?
They gave him an extra die and they changed his leadership.
Right, so now the leadership doesn't cost anything.
Correct. It's just like a passive.
I'm trying to remember everything they did. Was that it?
They may have done one or two smaller things, but those were definitely the two big changes.
Did they give him an extra die on the front and back side or just the front?
I don't remember, to be honest.
Yeah.
I'd have to look it up.
I can tell you from playing against Michael Campbell, that the affiliation ability is now really, really fucking annoying.
Yeah.
It's just, it drives me insane. And just because of, you know, the variance in the number of defense sides on a die versus the number of hit sides, it often will blank a defense, mm-hmm. at least in my experience. It sucks.
Yeah.
So if I'm already kind of rolling crappy and then that's happening at the same time, it's just like I'm getting wiped out. Foes is very difficult to play against now. They're tough. You don't really want to go fight them head on. And they punch up.
No, I mean, I agree. To answer Keith's question, absolutely, the change is enough to make him viable.
Yes.
I think, just like you said, I think spider foes are going from a afterthought to one of the more competitive and better affiliations in the game. I think they're very good now. And I think he is more than viable. I think Green Goblin is a good character now.
Yeah, yeah. You want to bring him now. You don't have to. Like, and different people argue with you on this, right? So Mike always thought he was viable. You just had to deal with a couple things. But now he's like fully viable that you want to bring him. And it's not like you have to overlook his stuff to bring him.
Yeah, definitely.
And he's scary, man. Like,
no, he's good.
He could even be scary before the changes if you got him on his flip side. But yes. Now he's a threat all the time. And I even dealt with him first because I was afraid of his flip side before his change. And now you want him off the board because that affiliation ability is really stupid. I'm salty about it because Mike just rolled the hell out of me with that thing. Like, I was already rolling bad, and then he was taking one from me on every freaking attack. And I was just getting my ass beat. So
he's good.
Good episode, man. I think we can totally handle this without Todd. Maybe we'll just have to ask him to take a seat.
Yeah, we'll just make sure we always schedule like when he's at a fab event or something. Oh no, like
you had a fab event.
Oh, like, yeah.
Just record.
We didn't really know you were there, but oh yeah, we're doing an episode at that time.
Well, so this week he's gone. Next week, I'll be gone with him. He wrote me into taking him out to Roanoke to the Star City Game Con for Flesh and Blood.
Nice.
And then the following week, he'll be at Nationals, so it'll be another you and me and maybe you and me and somebody else. So
yeah, we'll see maybe who's available. We'll tap Merzane or somebody in.
Yeah.
So. Well, all right, man.
Very good, man. Appreciate all your thoughts, and congratulations on your record. I hope you keep beating people.
I'll keep trying.
For the next Sooners TTS Corner, led by Careless Whisper, talking about how you destroyed somebody in the top cut.
We'll give it our best effort.
Yeah, man. We're going to talk to you. We will meet again in a couple weeks for another one of these things. And until then, see you guys later.